We are at item 15, emergency amendments regarding horseshoe crabs.
This is a request for emergency regulation for Chapter 4-20-910 pertaining to horseshoe crabs. This is to establish mesh size and twine size specifications for gillnet harvesting horseshoe crabs. This is an issue that first came up officially at the FMAC meeting on the 25th, 2013. It was brought up at the public comment by an individual, also a member of the FMAC. This issue was, as you have the regulation, the draft regulation in front of you, if you look at the bottom of page 3 and also top of page 4 is where the regulation would come into place. This would be an issue pertaining directly to gillnet and changing the mesh size they're allowed to fish and also the twine size. The reason this issue came up is because there was concern that fishing large mesh sizes with a small twine size could potentially cause large mammal or sea turtle interactions in the area of gill netting. The reason this is an emergency regulation is because it's a timeliness issue. Usually the gill net fishery for horseshoe crab comes about March, April, May, June of every year. So to do this by emergency regulation and bring it back in front of you for April for the public hearing would allow this to be in place for the gill net fishery that begins in April. Staff recommends amendments to 4-20-900-10 pertaining to horseshoe crab fishery, stating it shall be unlawful for any person to harvest or possess horseshoe crabs taken by any gill net that has a stretch mesh measure equal to or greater than 6 inches unless the twine size is equal to or greater than 0.81 millimeters in diameter, 0.031 inches, and that person possesses a valid coastal area striped bass permit or a black drum harvesting and selling permit. The second part of that was put in because it is a bycatch fishery. Second issue involving horseshoe crabs. Well, I'll bring that up next.
Do you want to take this question?
Yeah, you ready? You have a question?
No, I didn't know if you wanted to go ahead and take the question.
Oh.
If he's got a two-part.
No, let's just go ahead and keep going, and then we'll come back to all of it. I think it'll be...
Want to keep going and come back?
Yeah. In. We may have some public comment as well.
What I just passed out to you were also email comments that came in last week. They have pertained to conflicts of fisheries between East Ground in the Thomas Cove area and them having issue with net cutting and disturbance from the horseshoe crab fishery. At this time, the individuals, both Tommy Mason and Thomas Clark, are not recommending any kind of regulatory action. They would just want you to begin discussion how both user groups can both use this area and this resource together. To give you an idea, here's a map of Thomas Cove area, and you can see that there are some private oyster grounds out there as well as some Baylor ones. The ones that concern these would be some of these up in the shallow areas of water, and they're having problems with boats going through there maybe late at night in some of these shallow waters and even cutting nets or disturbing some of the oyster grounds. You can see that in these areas that it can get down 1-2 feet also down here. So just a conflict of user group, and just wanted to begin discussion on how both user groups can use this area a little more effectively.
When this came up, I suggested to Rob that some educational efforts on the part of the horseshoe crab folks might be in order to educate them that there are these nets in these areas and that, I guess, potentially they could be held liable for damage that they do to those structures when they're in those areas. Obviously, proving that can be fairly difficult. but...
But potentially liable, yes.
Potentially liable, and suggested that perhaps through our law enforcement division we might provide some education to those crab fishermen to make them aware of this situation. Try to avoid it. Mr. Robbins?
Well, Mr. Chairman, to that point, you know, I think at a minimum a letter from you or from the commission to the license holders might be helpful. But the way I'm reading the concerns that Tommy Mason's submitted, and you know, I know these boats skiff in there at night and do a lot of the harvesting at night, but are they actually doing any harvesting while somehow underway, or is the damage to the nets occurring as they're going into these points on the beach where they're beaching the boat, or do you have any more detailed information about
that? I do not have any more detail
about that.
Just
okay.
What the two comments provide.
Right.
Whether it be them scanning the shoreline at night looking for horseshoe crabs or actually coming towards the beach.
My impression is that there is some harvesting done in that shallow water, and that they probably are motoring along in those shallow areas, and that's when the damage occurs. But I suspect it occurs in the other situation you described as well. I think I have no problem with sending a letter to that effect to the permittees, make them aware of it. Do you have anything else, Adam?
Yes.
Right. Any public comment on either of these issues? Mr. Bowden? Welcome back.
I really missed all the presentations. I really liked that today. But I could walk out if I wanted to. You all couldn't. I'll give you a little history. I'll give you a little history.
State your name for the record. Otherwise, I'm going to swear you in.
I've been swore at, maybe not sworn in. I think my biggest concern is not really the horseshoe crab situation as compared to the incidental take of marine mammals and turtles. We worked very hard I was on the Harbor Porpoise Take Reduction Team along with Lewis Gillingham. And we also worked with National Marine Fisheries Service, Mr. Travelstead, O'Reilly, Mr. Rob himself, to try to come to some kind of consensus where we weren't closing fisheries down in the state of Virginia. We were very unfortunate with the Harbor Porpoise Plan because we actually had no takes at all in the state of Virginia, but there was take that occurred off of our coast, and the fish were landed in another state. So we were involved in the take reduction plan, even though we had no take. But when we were working on that, we did find out one thing. Through all the observer data, all the takes occurred in twine size 0.7 or less. There was no takes in 81 or 90 millimeter, which was common practice of Virginia boats and North Carolina boats also. And they felt like, with all the observer data, it was pretty conclusive that the lighter the twine, the more interaction you would have. And that's the reason the two states didn't have the interaction that the other states have. Well, now with the price of horseshoe crabs being extremely high, we're having more people want to get into the fishery. All the people who's been involved in it over the years use this gear because we're full-time commercial watermen. We fish both in the ocean and in the bay, and you wouldn't have two different sets of gear. It would be very expensive. So all we really want to do is bring everybody in on the same page. We don't want any incidental takes of marine mammals or turtles. And it's been very clear that heavier mesh webbing pretty well does away with that. And another concern was this is a bycatch fishery, and that's what we want it to be. You know, I'm one of the few people, everybody I talked to would say close horseshoe crabbing down before we would let it interfere with the other fisheries, because horseshoe crabbing to me makes up last year's most I've ever made, and it was only like 6 or 7% of my income. So if to take a chance on having us closed down because of turtle or marine mammal action would be economic suicide for me not to do that, close it. I don't think we need to. I think we can, you know, if everybody falls in on the same page, and this is something that we've done over the years, it's been shown to be effective. The reason we're after and that's over 6 inches, if you do not have one of those permits, either a coastal striped bass permit or a black drum permit, 95% of the stuff you would catch in those nets would be illegal for you to harvest, because it would be predominantly striped bass and black drum. You may have a very minor catch of smooth dogfish, but it would be a minor part. So really, you'd be leaving a bycatch fishery, and you would be conducting a directed fishery at that time, because none of the fish you caught you could keep. And, you know, gill net fishery is a finfish fishery. It's not intended to be a horseshoe crab fishery or a blue crab fishery or any other kind of fishery. It is a finfish fishery. So we have a very small bycatch allowance, and we don't want it to become a directed fishery. Last year we came here and we asked the commission to drop the harvest level on gillnet. The bycatch fishery is allowed 500 crabs a day. We asked if it was caught by gillnet to drop it to 250, because we really want to keep it a bycatch fishery. And a lot of it has to do with the other concerns with the mammals and the turtles. We're operating in a very delicate area, Tom's Cove. We're in the middle of a national wildlife refuge. There's a lot of concern on the national wildlife refuge side about even harvesting in there. They feel like now with the new management that they have a loophole to circumvent Virginia. Virginia has the right to do commercial fisheries, which they consider shellfish and finfish. Well, this clearly lies outside of those two. It's more related to a spider than it is even one of those two. So they feel like they have a loophole. So really, you know, I think like Romney King, we all need to get along. And I think the people on the other side that's pushing a lot of this stuff really need us as friends, and we need them. Because, you know, they're watermen too. They might not be full-time. They might be part-time and have other jobs. But I have no animosity towards that, because we're all going to end up that way with regulation. So I think it really makes sense. It's going to minimize our chances of having interactions. If those people want to fish with the gear that's been shown to be safe, we have no problem with that. But we just need to really look out for Virginia, because if this becomes a problem, it won't be a Tom's Cove area problem. Dealing with National Marine Fisheries Service over the years, it's going to be a Virginia problem. They don't believe in doing little tailored regulation. It's a statewide regulation. So this could really spill out and affect a lot of people. And that's the reason we feel the way we do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ernie. Good to see you. Anyone else wish to speak? State your name for the record.
Danny Bowden, and despite my gray beard, I'm Ernie's younger cousin. I tell you what, folks, I sit here and all of a sudden I got a case of nerves that's all coming up here and addressing everybody. And that's out of character with me, because usually I'm just like that. Okay, we've got this here, and this recommendation staff has brought before you. And I'm for this. Why am I? Well, I fish 12 months out of the year. Okay, full-time waterman. Now, last year, and I had mentioned this earlier when the horseshoe crab committee, whatever, like that, was trying to get some ideas of what to do with the quota. And this is something I said. Last year, I went out and retrieved nets that people had set out there as a directed horseshoe crab fishery, not as a directed fishery or something else where the horseshoe crabs were bycatch. Why were they doing this? Well, prices have gone up. It's a boom here. And like anything else, any other boom who's ever come along, people will jump into it quickly and quite often to the detriment of other things here. That is what happened. Now, we had a set of nets out there that were there 5 days. I had the blessing of law enforcement, and I had their thanks afterwards to go retrieve these. Now, I did not go out here to retrieve these nets trying to curry favor with the guys in uniform. Had some compassion for them now. I saw what the job was going to be ahead of them. I didn't go out there. I'm not up here with this cloak of altruism over top of me now as I speak to you. I went there out of selfish reasons. The reasons are this. Emergency regulations. Give you a quick geography lesson here. Assateague Island, which is the bare island between Chincoteague and the Atlantic Ocean, one-third of it is in Virginia. The other two-thirds are in Maryland. The Virginia portion became a national wildlife refuge in the early 1940s. Okay, fine. They're there. That's it. Game wardens. We've got to live with them. Okay. In the 1960s, President Johnson signed in the existence of Assateague National Seashore, which occupies Maryland. The thing that is, when he signed that in, he also signed in a half-mile national park around it. The waters, which circles all of Assateague Island, not just the Maryland portion, but Virginia's as well. Now, for 40 years, they have done nothing about as far as any kind of regulation, enforcement, this, that, whatever. I guess about 8 years ago, they started to take and make their presence felt. Happens to me running out waterfowl hunters, place I've gone all my life, and all of a sudden, someone's showing up there and saying, you can't do this unless you have a permit. Well, that kind of struck me like something that would happen in perhaps some banana republic south of the border, where the police of nationale will come out here and try to get a little bit of money out of the gringos. That's how it hit me. Anyways, that's going on. Not only do commercial operations have to do that, but also hunting operations, but charter boat captains have to do this, as well do tour guides. All right. What I was concerned about with this, and twice, as I said, I had to go out and retrieve nets here, and I did it. I'm trying to look out for myself here. I'll take and strike bass. That's the hot ticket right now for me here. It has been the last few years. And Mother Nature being what it is, the hand of God is provides a lot of opportunity for me. But not only do I strike bass there, not only do I black drum there, I'll croaker fish in the waters, I'll hard crab in the waters, I'll catch clams in those waters, spot, whatever, here it is. Now, I attended one meeting 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and amongst the plans the National Park Service had was to take and shut down all commercial activities inside those waters there, commercial fishing. I don't want to give them any fodder whatsoever. And by that I mean it's something that is caught and discarded, that there is no market for, that someone could not sell legally, all of a sudden it washes to shore. Because, folks, this is the other thing about Assateague Island, Assateague National Wildlife Refuge. It is one of the most heavily visited refuges in the United States of America, if not the most heavily visited. And sadly, decisions that affect that refuge, and I do believe this, and if I had a previous manager there to take and back me up on this, he would agree, he's retired now, are as much derived at a cocktail party inside the Beltway of D.C. is what they are right here. And all due respect to the personnel that are there now, there's a certain level of arrogance with them and a certain level of ignorance as to a people who lived in for generations in a certain area here. Now, through years past, I had close ties. I had personal friends who were involved in law enforcement there. Things were fine then. They realized people worked here, did this. They knew what was at stake here. Someone came from like families. They've either, A, retired or been promoted further up the food chain, so to speak. So they're not there to talk with. And the new breed that's there does not quite have compassion towards people who take and pursue a livelihood on the water is what their predecessors did. So with this regulation here, hopefully it'll curtail any chance for the opportunists to come along here. And the opportunity being to take and harvest one thing, and I can understand they wouldn't make a dollar, don't get me wrong with that, but after that's done with, what are we going to do with what we got here? Just throw it ashore. When it washes up on the beach, the worst thing always happens. And here's how it is, guys. Madam, excuse me. There are more whales, this is an example, well enough, this is quite the analogy it applies here, die from result of ship strikes than they do from tangling and fishing gear. You never hear about that, but you let one whale get someone's offshore lobster trawl wrapped around his leg, or his leg, listen to me, his fluke, going down the coast, every helicopter there is, every news agency is there, and they cover that. 2 years, in 2004 and 2007, they had the opportunity to take part in the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. I'm up to D.C. doing it, and I'm there hanging in gill nets. I thought this is a great way to go and do take and lobby for my, on behalf, I should say, of the industry I'm in. Most people are ignorant of things, but you had other people come through who swore up and down that I catch flipper every time I go in the ocean and go to work, which is not the case. And I thought it was just myself here, but in 2007 I had some friends from the UK, they weren't friends before, but they are friends now, who do the same thing. And they had the same thing they had to deal with there. And also that you have someone does something, people will take a point of the finger at the wrong person, and that's why I'm being really long-winded this year, that I'm worried this is what would happen if people were allowed to do this and not do this, how should I put this? Not have the passion for what they do for a living, if they are doing this for a living, Mr. Travel said. They're here to make a few bucks out of it, and that's it. And I tell you what, if you had the law enforcement officers up here before you, they would take and tell you. I'm not going to put words in the mouth. They'd tell you on their own just what it's like having to deal with a lot of these people up there. Because they also have to deal when it comes to catching silver stocks. The same group of people. Same thing there. Arguments back and forth, cursing the air. The good thing is night because the air would be turning blue, profanity out there. That's how they are. So please take and accept this recommendation which staff has come up with. At least this is a stopgap measure to perhaps we can find something that may be even better along the lines here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming over. Anyone else? All right. Any final questions of staff on this? What's your pleasure? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate what staff brought forward and supported. I am going to abstain on the vote itself, but appreciate all the work staff done on this.
Is there a motion?
I move to approve the staff recommendations on this emergency measure.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
All those in favor of the motion to adopt emergency regulation 900, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. Regulation is adopted. We'll have a public hearing on this next month. All right. Very good. I think that ends our agenda. Is there anything further to come before the commission? Hearing none, we are adjourned.